coming to you live from Memorial Stadium. It's Sports Nightly. All the Huskers, all the time. Sports Nightly is presented to you by the NDOT Highway Safety Office, who remind you to buckle up and put the phone down.
The Sejan behind the screen dances around. Has he moved? Pump fake. Out it comes to Jacobson. Puts it up and in! Holy smokes! Way to go, Cale! Cale Jacobson from Ashland, Nebraska. Into the starting lineup 3 games ago. Hits a huge, humongous, gigantus 3.
Runs and deals. Ball swings and lets the fly ball to left. Colvin going back to the wall, and it's good! Home run, Jordy Bull! A towering drive to left field by Jordy Bull, and that ties the school record for home runs in a season by a Husker. Ali Viola, you've got company. It's the best player in college softball with her third home run of the weekend. Jordy Bull.
Bump set left. Amendovar's in the front row. She tips it. Doug. Huskers own it. Set left. Harper again. Overdig and out. Quinn Harper Murray in the big red. She's carrying him. That's 18 kills for Harper. It's 25-24 Nebraska.
Welcome in hour two of Sports Nightly here on the Huskers Radio Network. I'm Josh Hilkeman. Tonight we have a best of show for you. In fact, this whole week will be best of shows as we're in the middle of moving to a new studio. We have a couple of game replays for you later this week, but tonight we're listening back to a few of our favorite interviews from the past few weeks. First up this hour is a conversation Jessica had with one of the new Nebraska Athletics Hall of Fame inductees. This one is former volleyball player Stephanie Thader, who played for the Huskers in the late 80s and early 90s. Jess began by congratulating Stephanie and wishing her a happy birthday.
Thank you. What a great thing, and what a great way to remember my 54th birthday. Yes, I'm not afraid to say how old I am, but what a wonderful honor to be on here.
Well, congratulations. It was incredible when I texted you about doing this interview, and then when we were just chatting right now, you had mentioned it was kind of hard for you to accept. You're such a team person, but what was it like when you got the call, and what the honor meant to you?
Yeah, so Keith Zimmer, who is currently, I believe, associate AD. I hope I've got his title correctly. He leads the one of his many endeavors there, leads the Life Skills Program as well as the Hall of Fame committee. And he was my former academic advisor for the athletes back when I played. So he has had a long tenure there. And what a wonderful way to connect was he called or text and, you know, asked to get a hold of me and called me and shared the news. And so for to hear about it from someone you know is actually much more meaningful. It's still meaningful regardless. It's what an honor that is. But it's much more meaningful to know it came from Keith Zimmer.
You were telling me that it was a little bit hard for you, the individual awards, for you to accept. And I think it's pretty fascinating. Can you take us through that and how you've worked through that?
Yeah. So, you know, I was blessed to have a wonderful career at Nebraska. If you unpack it, I actually had a near miss experience coming to Nebraska. That's a story that Coach Pettit shared, and it's kind of a funny story, but nonetheless, it came down to being evaluated by another coach that was on staff, and that coach saying, "Oh, I don't know if Stephanie's, you know, going to be in our program, if she can fit." And then he ratifying that, going down to see me and says, "No, she's exactly who our program is." So it actually, my story starts on a very shaky foundation, which I laugh about, but it was quite terrorizing when he told me that story. I had no idea for years. But it is a team sport. And anytime you spend time with any of the Huskers, former, current, and in the future, even the individual sports, I would be a betting woman that they would also obviously understand that umbrella of community that comes with success. And team sports have that to no end. When I heard about this award, of course, I was grateful, but I'll be honest with you, it's still a little unsettling. There are so many people that have been positioned before me, after me, and during my tenure at Nebraska that have been so formative to my success. And it's actually quite uncomfortable to be singled out when I actually am a representative of other support that I received. They've made their decision. I guess we have to stick with it. But to honor that, I've actually asked and am in the process of asking former coaches and teammates to join me that evening. I just don't feel comfortable wearing the mantle by myself.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, you mentioned a little bit how you got here, but take us back to the very beginning. How did you get into volleyball? Why did that become the sport for you?
Yeah. Well, those who know me back then, I'm 6'2". I say that now because only to tell you that my first team was a team of 7 siblings and 2 parents. I came from Missouri, and I'm 3rd shortest out of 7 kids. So
wow.
6'2". Meaningless in my family. It was shrimpy. We grew up with some hardships. I'm not afraid to say it. We, you know, the resources were low, but the family dynamic was strong. And so when I look at how I was equipped to be ready to kind of wear that Nebraska jersey, really did start with that first team of mine, and that was from Union, Missouri. When I got to Nebraska, to be honest with you, I was a bit of a project. I was this raw athlete, and I have this, if I can find it, I'm going to bring it to the Hall of Fame evening, but Terry Pettit, the head coach there, and of course his tenure is just garnered. I can't even imagine, you know, to begin to shed light on all that he's done for Nebraska volleyball, but he used to make us journal. And the first week of the journal of my freshman year in red letters says, I want to go home.
Wow.
And I say that not to kind of, you know, say, well, gosh, why did the committee choose me? You know, like, who is she? I say that because there is not one athlete that has not had to overcome adversity in this transition and during their tenure at Nebraska to make great things happen. And so I want to find that journal because that was where it started for me, was to really embrace that I can do it. And with the solid help of many people from the coaching, from the strengths and academics, mental health, all the people that wrap around our athletes to help them on their journey. That's where I started. So it was not easy. And I'm okay saying that because I would like to keep this all very real for everybody.
I think that's so important. So how did it change for you from I want to go home to 3-time All-American?
Yeah. So any successful person will tell you it's a combination of challenge and support, right? And I think we see that in business, we see it in sports, we see it in parenting, and any endeavor that you find yourself in. For me, it was challenge and support. And so I was a freshman under 2 All-American middle blockers. I did not a lot of playing time my freshman year. I did make some, you know, some impact, but I wouldn't have had it any other way because I had to battle that first year really against some talented players who were decorated. Virginia Sarah and Carla Baker were the 2 I was going up against. Now my sophomore year, they graduate and I get to start and start that wonderful career. But it was the people to the left and right and the person setting me that really was that foundation. So, you know, think Val Novak and Nikki Stricker and then Eileen Shannon and Chris Hall and Janet Cruz and all of the people. Becky Boley came in for me in the back row. So we had this community and everybody played their role. I was just lucky to be able to stand on some of these powerful women's shoulders to, I guess, get some of these awards. But it really was a team effort.
Okay, so going back to even the decision to come to Nebraska, can you take us through that and the recruiting process and how you got from Union, Missouri to Nebraska?
Yeah, for sure. So I was on a club volleyball team, not unusual for our volleyball players, but my club was not as competitive, I would say, as what you would see from the upper echelons of the clubs that were trained in 7 days a week through their high school careers. I think mine trained 1 week in a month. That's what we were dealing with in my small town, right? I was fortunate to go to a national tournament, and of course, we were raw athletes and we battled, and so we could go up against these clubs that were a lot more polished through kind of sheer grit, if you want to know the truth. And I was lucky to be seen that junior summer. And when I got back, I think that fall, I had 50 different colleges kind of, you know, contacting you and reaching out. My high school coach, Greg Curran, I'll never forget the day where I was sitting. He invites me and my parents in, and he says, we need to start talking about post high school for Stephanie. Well, my family, you didn't think too far in advance. It kind of goes back to kind of survival mode that most of us were living in. I don't want to dim the light here, but it was the reality of kind of that atmosphere that I felt. So future orientation really did not make much sense for someone like me. He mentioned Nebraska, and I was like, what's going on? I don't know anything about this. Well, my mom had an eighth grade education. My dad finished high school, so I was a first-generation college student. Mm. So to consider college, let alone a Final Four, Division One, upper echelon volleyball, that was as far to the moon that you could get for someone like me. Luckily, they recruited me, called me, were persistent. I visited, and once you visit Nebraska, you don't want to go home. And another point is Lori Endicott was from Springfield, Missouri. She wore number 2, and she was the setter for Nebraska 4 years before she graduated the year before I got there. When I got to talk to Lori and see her path and see that, I'm sorry. I'll get it together. Sorry. When I got to see what future looks like, and I didn't see that right away. I had to get here, and I had to battle, and I had to sort through some internal things, but the coaches never gave up, and they saw for me what I didn't see. And John Cook, who I cannot leave him out, he was one of the coaches that recruited me, not the one that didn't evaluate me appropriately, that was a different one. John wrote, this is back when they didn't have any digital recruiting and the texts and the Twitters and all the things, right? He sketched a locker, and it said, Thader, I'm sorry, this is ridiculous. It said, Thader, All-American, 90, 91, and 92.
Wow.
And enough, that's my career. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got me emotional over here. It's just such a powerful story. I hope you don't mind me asking, just for if there's somebody listening that might, what you said, you hadn't seen a future, and then until you got here, for someone that might have that kind of similar, be in that similar situation, what kind of advice do you give?
Oh, good night. I am not the person to give advice. I am who was thankful to have been given advice. The only advice I will say, and it's really just kind of comes back to a quote that I have made into my personal mission, and hopefully this is advice enough, but I think it was Maya Angelou that said, when we cast our bread upon the waters, we can't know, and I'm paraphrasing, the people who will be impacted, because we will not see their faces, as we have been impacted from those people we have been benefactors of ahead of us. That to me is Nebraska volleyball, and that is life. And so position yourself to receive support from anyone and everyone who is kind enough to give it, but complete that cycle of investment. Once you understand that, then you have to complete the cycle by throwing that bread down the stream yourself. And so to me, if that is advice or more of a mission way to think about it, Nebraska pours into their athletes. We have donors, we have administrators, we have people behind the scenes, fans, my teammates who maybe they got hurt and they didn't get the awards, the walk-ons, but everybody contributes. And so they're poured into, but then they themselves get an opportunity to complete that cycle for the next underlings, the people who win the national championships in 95, as it were for us. It wasn't our group, but it was the people afterwards. So I don't know if that's advice, more how I unpack the experience.
Oh, that's great. What was it like playing for Terry Pettit? What made him such a revolutionary coach at the time?
Yeah, well, I think Terry is revolutionary in so many ways, and I don't even think I understood until even more after the relationship that you have with these people that have poured into you, because then you get to see them on different in different atmospheres, know a little bit more about them than where they were with the task at hand, right? Terry's, one of his fortes is, first of all, to give opportunity. He is very clear about equality and Title IX and how that's impacted his teams prior to, you know, all of the decades he's coached, and to give opportunities to people to compete and to be a part of a team and successful team. So that is something you kind of walk in this wonderful embrace that you get to be a part of. So that's huge. His other thing is his ability to train athletes, to look at them, see what they need to overcome, and help them with tools to overcome those things. Some of that is from the athletes agency, some of that's from the coaching, and some of that's from the support personnel that you'll find on college campus that I mentioned earlier. But either way, positioning an athlete to kind of not only recognize where they are, but the gaps between where they want to be, and then help them get there. To me, that sums it up. And it's not a pretty task, and it's not an easy task. And it's, I always say, I was fortunate to get my jersey retired, I think it was 2008. And I just said, beauty is, you know, life is beautiful, but people need to see the inner workings of what makes it beautiful. They need to see the behind the door stories of people and what they've overcome, adversities and stuff like that. To me, that's where the beauty is. But people show up, they pay the tickets, they watch the final product on the courts, and they have no idea the beauty that they haven't been able to witness that got those athletes and coaches there. To me, that's the wonderful thing that teams get to keep all to themselves, those intimate stories and knowledge. And I think that's the beauty in sports and why people want to be a part of it, because they know it's, they know those stories are there. They want to be privy to them. Some of them are just kept for the coaches and players.
That's part one of an interview Jessica Cootie had with former Nebraska volleyball player Stephanie Thader on Sports Nightly a couple of weeks ago. We'll continue that conversation when we come back with more of tonight's Best of Show after the break.
I would have never had the chance to see my daughter become a doctor.
Because my mom wore her seatbelt that day, I get to hug her when I go home.
And then it clicked. Because I wore my seatbelt, I learned that one moment in time can change a person's life forever.
Brought to you by NDOT Highway Safety Office.
The day we were hit was the second to last day of our high school careers.
We were about to graduate as best friends together.
And then it clicked. Because we wore our seatbelt that day, we still get to experience life together.
Brought to you by NDOT Highway Safety Office.
Hit us up on the text line. Text 402-413-2400 with your Husker thoughts.